We go to the WhatsApp now and we try to take a call over there. We're trying to improve the system on the WhatsApp. Also, obviously, as we've always said, to try to bring in those of you who may not have the landlines and the credit on the cell phones. And obviously, those of you who live overseas that want to be part of the program. So let's say good afternoon and welcome over in the WhatsApp land. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me okay?
Well, fair. Poker, as my guy Alombe Motley would have said years ago in this chair.
I just want to say hi to all of the people in the... Hello?
Just go ahead, we're hearing you, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it cut out. Yeah, sorry about that. Hi to all the people in the chat, you know, all the usual people who helped to make my day bearable. We've been here under lockdown now for about 6 weeks, and it's not that difficult. The stores are open, and you know, you basically just shelter in place and do as you're told, unless you think that you're invincible and you're not gonna die.
So basically, the moving around that you would have done for the last 6 weeks would basically be to the grocery store and back, and shelter in place outside of that.
Yeah, pretty much. I put gas in the car once in 6 weeks, which is great.
Mm-hmm. What about working from home? Have you been doing any work from home?
No. We are shut down. Unless you're on a special assignment, mm-hmm, as part of a refurbishment team that needs to be in plant, mm-hmm, we, most of the engineering group, just got to sit tight and wait this thing out.
So you were in engineering?
Yeah, in nuclear engineering.
Nuclear engineering, okay.
Yeah.
And you don't have a big family at home?
Yeah, my wife is on the front lines. Every day, mm-hmm, she deals with it, and mm-hmm, she comes home and takes everything off and takes a shower, and then, as I said, we deal with it every day. I have a couple of relatives in Nanuvik who are affected by it, actually. One is in hospital right now, and some in Florida as well. But, you know, you take it in stride. This also too will pass, and everybody is talking about what the world is going to be like. As long as there are medicines and there is a cure, I think the world will go back to being its selfish, greedy way it is. I don't think this is going to change human nature at all.
The tests of time will come in time. Whether it is, I believe some people will never be the same again, but will that translate to a feeling overall that the society has changed? I think that is yet to be seen. I won't want to put any wagers out there as yet, but I do see a lot of positive changes coming out of this, even if it is not, as I said, a societal change where you can feel everyone holding hands and singing Kumbaya, that I do believe that there will be some positive changes lingering far after COVID-19 is no longer the buzzword in the world.
Yeah. I just want to say something quickly. Your show on Monday with respect to the water stuff, one of the things that I find very interesting is that there never seems to be a true accounting of what is going on. So, for example, my question has been, and people on the chat know this, right? How many miles or kilometers of mains have been replaced so far? What has been the cost? And how long has it taken to do that? How many kilometers of mains that are leaking, etc., need to be replaced still? How much is that estimated to the cost? And how long do they think that is going to be done? These are the kinds of things that a manager and a CEO in a corporation will have people sit and discuss, and then they put a plan into place as to how you're going to do it. Now, it might cost billions of dollars to do over time, but you have to start somewhere, and you got to start at some point in time. But the constant regurgitating of what is wrong, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, you're not going to get anywhere. And as long as you have a manager or a general manager who takes this route, then he or she is held accountable by the people who he reports to, and in the course of a year or 6 months or every year and a half, you report and you give an account of what you've done. And if you haven't done a good job, you're held to account and either somebody else is given that job, or you have to present means and ways by which you're going to achieve the goal that you're trying to achieve. And I don't understand why that is so hard to do in Barbados.
Allow me to horse it back, because I don't want to read any pig right now. Let me horse it back on that point. And I think it is an excellent point for many reasons. One, as opposed to repeating that we have old mains, I agree with your point. We should say we have X amount of kilometers of old mains in 2010 and in 2015 and in 2020. So you can actually see if there's progress. The second point, this way it comes down to governance. And I think that this would give citizens an objective measure in which to measure the parties by and make a decision, not just purely on party politics, but on what you are doing for the country. So you could say my administration would have spent $1.2 billion fixing 300 kilometers, and the next party coming on, so well, I was able to fix X more kilometers in less money. Give me a vote at the ballot. So you have kind of like an objective measure as opposed to say, well, this body look good, that body smell nice, etc., etc. You have some objective measure and say, listen, this body is governing in the best interest of Barbados. And also, you can also see, as you said in your final part, you can actually see some level of progress and you understand, okay, there is light and water at the end of the tunnel and the pipe. So you can feel some kind of reprieve. You can feel some kind of ease in the situation. So I want to say that is an excellent point. One of the best for the day.
Now, the other thing I want to say for you.
Not the other thing, the last thing.
We keep getting this notion put across by officials and some people as I sit and listen to the program that you can't get into any real technical details because the people don't understand. What they're trying to say when they say that is that the people are so stupid they can't understand. But and I don't believe that. So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. For example, I've heard BWA officials talk about the SCADA systems that they are implementing SCADA technology into their system there. And you explain to the people what that does. What that does is that it gives you the ability to monitor, it gives you the ability to see peak times and lulls and to see areas where there is excessive usage, for example. And you can sit and look at the data that is coming in, and it helps you to figure out and to understand where things are leaking, when there's a lot of usage, and you can
correct. That's what the smart meters are actually, they said that I was partly about. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to one of your colleagues here on the chat, Caribbean Woman 3.
Right. So you can come up with a plan as to how to fix some of the problems, but you must have an ongoing plan, and it must be looked at, and you must sit and review and see where you are, and supervisors and managers need to be accountable, and if you don't do that, nothing will ever be fixed. Now, the other thing you talked about is standby generators for the compensations, and I haven't heard any more talk about that. Are the standby generators in the pumping stations? When the electricity goes off, are you going to be able to have the capacity to pump water to the people or not? You know, stuff like these are the kinds of things I want to hear them talking about. Not sitting and telling us all the time about the growth and
caller, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to this. I have my own thoughts on it. And because my name is mentioned, I will take the first stab at it. It says, Beijing Lane, the mains are all over the place. You and the caller getting on as though the mains alongside the road. A lot of them are located in some rough terrains, all in the gullies, etc. For instance, like Hackington Cliff from down Foster Hall through the big, long, that probably is supposed to be gully, right? Now, the point, the matter is, and Ladybug made the point as well, and they agree, that this information had been given from time to time. It was said in Parliament and so on. But I think what you are calling for is communication, constant communication where we can see where we are, where we were, and where we are going to know, well, look, they did say there were X amount of pipes, and they did say using the IDB project, they've been able to fix X amount of pipe under the last administration. So the information has been there in drips and drabs, and saying it in Parliament is like probably shouting in the forest. So who hears? My thing is, and I think, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, that what you're calling for is somewhere that we can actually keep a track of what's happening constantly.
If you don't monitor and track what you're doing, you're doomed to failure because you cannot succeed and get it done. Now, I understand that the pipes are all over the place, but this is where system configuration comes into account. And what system configuration is that you have a paper, or you, as you work on your plant or your system, you keep records and you have a paper or a computerized record of where your pipes are and so on. And over time, you build up a very extensive map so that you know exactly where all of these things are. So saying that they're all over the place we understand that. Of course, they're all over the place, but you must monitor and map what you have as you go forward. There's no other way to do it.
All right, thank you. As we get up towards the latest from the Starcom Network News, we thank you for that contribution. As I said, I stand by my words. I think it is an excellent way to approach that particular situation. So do have a good day, and thank you for coming in. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome, good afternoon. Hello. Hello and welcome to Down to Brass Stats. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Now, I just have an issue here that's got me pretty upset, and I'd like a little help with it, please. Now, I am not sure what toll-free means as far as Flow customer service is concerned. They've got a 1-800 customer number, but apparently that only applies for calls from Flow to Flow. When you're calling from a Digicel phone, you have to pay for it. You know, you use your credit. So I would just like that clarified. Now, the other thing is that my Flow service has gone completely bum. The landline is dead. The cable TV is dead. The broadband, Wi-Fi, everything is dead since Friday. Whoa. I have been calling the customer care service, and I'm getting different stories. The first Friday I called, there was a technical difficulty, and they were working on it. The next time I called, there was an outage. They were working on it. I called back, no supervisor. I asked to speak to a supervisor or a manager. No supervisor or a manager on duty. I will hear from them in 24 hours. Well, 24 hours has gone now at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I have not heard anything from them. One of the customer care people in wherever it is, Guatemala or Guyana or somewhere, said to me that he doesn't think that my service will get fixed until May 3rd when the curfew is lifted, because Flo's office in Barbados has shut down, and they're not sending out any technicians. So I'm supposed to wait until May 3rd. Now, there's something wrong with this. I would have thought that communication is an essential service. I need my phone. I am a retired person. I live alone, and I need to be able to use my landline. And I'd like to watch some of the cable TV that I'm paying $215 for every month. And I would like it fixed as soon as possible. I cannot get hold of anybody in Barbados at Flow because apparently they're closed. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't see why I should wait until May 3rd to get a landline or to watch a little TV or to send a WhatsApp to my friends or family. I have already used about $70 of my credit trying to deal with customer care, and I don't think that is fair. So, well, I don't know. What are your opinions, first of all, about the toll-free number?
Well, the toll-free number is supposed to be that free.
Well, it is not.
Right. So, when you call toll-free number, they ask you to dial some other numbers and pay some money. So that's something you have to address with the company. I agree with you on that. Secondly, yeah. It would be insensitive for me to say, you know, if we had a hurricane or something and the lines were knocked down, we would have to be with folks. So I wouldn't say
yeah.
that. What I would say is that there are some local numbers. I don't have them for some floor people here. I may be able to find one or two. So you could speak to somebody here. I did hear that they're not sending out people at first. They have planned to send out people. I understand. No, let me say I understand. There was discussion about equipping people to go out in emergency, and I probably think that that may still be a consideration. But for what they consider to be basic reconnections or whatever service disruptions, that they don't want to do that. They want to make sure their staff are safe. But what they're gonna do is what they're gonna do is can ask, because we gotta take the latest note, ask you to give your name and number to the producer, and I will try to connect you with a local number so that you can actually speak to somebody here, and they could probably, if not
I
fix the situation overnight, they may be able to ease your situation by advising you what you can do.
Well, this has been since Friday. And by the way, two floor technicians were two houses down from my house yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And you went out and got them and
grabbed
them?
I went and I spoke with them, but mm-hmm. they told me that they only deal with the wiring on the outside.
You tried to get a local number from them?
I did, but they didn't seem to have any
hand. All right. Stay on the line and speak to the producer. I'll try to get a local number over to you, and hopefully that can help alleviate some of your worry. Okay? The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Let me make three corrections or into three pieces of information into official documents of the house at this time. But as I welcome you back, I want to really welcome you back to this edition, the Wednesday edition, Down to Brass Tacks, with producer Mrs. Michelle Braffe and your host, Corey Lane. Now, for the BRA, I've reached out to the BRA because a number of persons messaged and would have asked me about the TAMIS website and what is happening over there. And their communication team was able to get some information over to me. So for those trying to reach the Barbados Revenue Authority or get on the website, I understand that, yes, TAMIS is available. The Barbados Revenue Authority is on a skeleton staff, mainly working from home. However, we have reopened our Warrens and Weymouth locations from today, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for tax payments only, no licensing. Regarding password reset emails, our telecommunication provider is currently experiencing an issue resulting in the bouncing of emails from TAMIS. They are working to resolve this as quickly as possible. In the meantime, persons who require a password reset or have any other queries can contact us at bramail@bra.gov.bb. That is bramail@bra.gov.bb. In relation to the Barbados Water Authority, I was reminded by former Foreign Affairs Minister Maxine McLean that from 2015 they were doing major mains replacement project negotiated by herself and Minister from the UAE, Her Excellency Reem Al Hashami, and that they actually had the Water Wednesdays, and episode 180 actually spoke to a lot of things that are being asked for. So outside of Parliament, I am reminded that there was the Water Wednesday going for a while that spoke to a lot of the issues. Now, in terms of communication and white communication, sometimes these things are said in Parliament, sometimes these things may be said at a different station or channel that the majority of persons may be plugged into, or not everybody, obviously not plugged in everywhere. So we will miss it, and it's always good when people can remind us that these things are being said and these things are being done. Earlier I spoke to the population of Barbados, 98% black. Obviously that was old information. When I popped up the most recent information, remember we drew for a census this year, I don't know how that's going to work, but is 2012, the revision of the world population prospects. And it actually says that it can be as high as 95%, not 98. We actually have 92.4 black and 3.1 mix. Now that mix and black thing, that is a whole debate for another time. I just reading what the 2012 revision of world population prospects have for Barbados. We have about 2.7 of the population white, 1.3 South Asian, 0.4 include East Asian at 0.1 and Middle Easterners at 0.1 as well. So that's just some correction there in the population, the Barbados Water Authority and the Barbados Revenue Authority. So we fact checking ourselves as we go down the road. 10 minutes to one. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you doing?
Well, I'm okay. That's the truth. How about you? How are you doing?
I am trying in these hard times and stuff like that, but what can I do? You understand? But praise the Almighty, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my two items that I want put on the table this afternoon is one dealing with unemployment and the next one with IT. In relation to unemployment, right, one has to be concerned about the high level of unemployment, which can have an impact on our economy. Okay, for those people who are unemployed, they will have to go into their savings if they have any. And for these 12,000 persons who are unemployed and claiming, what will happen to them after the benefits has been used up all the funds?
As I said earlier, I asked the same question, and it was made to understand that obviously government will keep an eye on the situation and prepare to adjust, and they have some mechanisms to try to deal with the issue in terms of voting additional money if it becomes absolutely necessary. So I did ask that question, and they are aware and monitoring the situation like all things. So there is a security situation, a health situation, a social situation, many situations right across Barbados. And the team, we must pray and support, of course, offer constructive criticism as well, because they are well away behind the wheel and adjusting as we go. So the team also have to, you know, keep an eye on all the things that are happening. And as things adjust, they need to be able to be flexible and adjust as well.
Yeah, because a lot of these small businesses that not developing anything, I can see that some of them are going to be falling up, and some of them are going liquidation, and some are going to receivership. And then some of these same very people might have to go to the tribunal and stuff like that nature. That's the way that I can foresee things. And in relation to the IT, right, I must congratulate Mr. Ben from BCC, who taught me network administration. And I'm bringing a suggestion to you in relation to those people who were quarantined and now have been discharged, right? There's a possibility as a doctor from real estate, from the internet, he said that it can reoccur, right? And we need to trace these people. And in so doing, in tracing these people, we can develop an app, a health app. And this can be done by using some volunteers from the computer studies in our college, our local college, our university, and as well as the IT department in Warrens, right? Because they can put this app on people's cell phone as soon as they are discharged for those who have cell phones, because you don't want a situation that this thing reoccurring, right, and they don't know, and then it causes a spread. That's a way I can see to have it traced, right? That is one of the areas I can see for the app developing and stuff like that. And if they use these students from BCC, they can use these employers, can use these students as, you know, they got a attachment program. Some people pay and some people don't pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can use them for that purpose, right, to develop the app and pass on the app to the Ministry of Health. And for those businesses out there who don't want to pay a web page designer, right, to develop a web page, they can bring all these students, right? They develop the web page for them, right? And people can shop online and people can shop in the store as well. They do it overseas. There's nothing hard about it. Simple and straightforward. You put in your information in the system, right? And then when you finish, you know, your things go in the cart, and then you press the payment, right? And after that, you press how you're going to deal with the payments.
I want to thank you for the suggestion. The only thing I would add is that a lot of the times on the outside, things seem like, you know, simple and straightforward. But behind the scenes, oftentimes you would find that there are some unknown complications and some unnecessary complications. Yes. But thank you very much. We're going to move on. Just to correct something I said also, in terms of the negotiations with former Minister McLean, those were specifically for solar energy solutions for the Barbados Water Authority. The Mains Lane program was financed differently. So I just want to make sure we get that as clear as possible. Brad Stats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter. Sorry, good afternoon, Corey.
No problem. Go ahead.
Yes, no, my time is limited. Corey, with respect to the program that you are managing, I don't know if that is the one that works in collaboration with Cynthia Ford's program.
Yes, please, it is.
But it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. But certainly you are experiencing challenges, and I know mm-hmm. you outlined some this morning
mm-hmm.
where people are trying to get through to you and they cannot get through mm-hmm. no matter how many times the phone, because you don't have enough personnel to mm-hmm. man the phones, and even if you do, all they can do is call back.
Right, correct.
Now, obviously, for people who are hungry today, and there are people who don't mm-hmm. have money and don't know what to do, the fact that you will call back maybe on Friday or next week cannot help their situation for today.
Today, that's correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I want to make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that I believe, and I'm making this based on what I see happening overseas, because my sister works for cleaning houses and so in New York, and she tells me, when she don't go out, they're on lockdown as well. But she told me last week, she just going to the bank to collect her money, because the government just put in money in the account for you. You get your money, you can live. So mm-hmm. don't mind they shut you down.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a lifeline as well. Not a lot of money, but enough that you can buy groceries. And I'm wondering here, if the government, because you all got a lot of red tape, you getting all the help you could, and you still can't solve the problems. Mm-hmm. Cynthia Ford getting all the help she can, but she still cannot solve the problems. Because you got to vet people, you got to get people to come to you, you got to get people on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just put some money in everybody's bank account? Just so. Like how they do it overseas.
You see, even if I said just so. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, just I mean, so. You will know how just so with me mm-hmm. because you're giving it out because you're trying to mm-hmm. let people to give it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, put it in the bank account and save the time of the phone calling,
mm-hmm.
save the time of checking people. It doesn't matter even
if... Well, if you have a limited amount of money, wouldn't you want to put it in the correct bank accounts? And to do that, you got to do at least a little bit of checking. Just correct me if
I'm wrong. I'm saying, listen, let money be opened up for the people, because you can't... If you got 20,000 people that need food, and you only got money for 5,000, so you were saying the 15,000 going to date, you still got to feed them, because politically, that's your job as a political party. You have to feed as a government.
Not as a political, right, as a government, people. Not a political party. Political
parties
aren't supposed
to. Yeah, I know.
Go ahead.
You have to feed the people, so don't come with you don't got no money.
No, it's not about not having money. It's that you have limited money. The way how you were talking about it, you can say like letting money fall from the sky like manna. But you have to have a system to be able to do these things. And I agree with you. We have to find better, faster, more efficient ways. And we've been doing that. This system has been upgraded about 3 times. I think you have to appreciate the tsunami of need that was created in Barbados almost overnight. And I can assure you there's a meeting within an hour or so that will seek to upgrade the system. And we have to get ahead of it. So instead of doing 3 upgrades, we may have to take 3 notches in one to get ahead of this. Obviously, the persons who would have received assistance yesterday and tomorrow, they will be set. But then over the next coming days, we're going to make sure everybody else gets set that really, really, really need it. And that's what we're working to do.